Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a fantastic day today. We got a lot of different news stories to cover for you, a lot of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. You know, the other day I talked about IQ scores and how they were pretty much predetermined at birth from a DNA standpoint. If you missed that show, I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, get a chance to listen to that one. But one thing I didn't have a chance to that day because we ran out of time is there are other types of intelligence quotients. Now, and here's why I want to talk to you about this. Because a lot of times when people have real high IQ scores and they're basically non-functional, they're kind of like, they're like savants in many cases. They're like almost retarded. They're so smart. And they, you know, they'll pick their nose in public. You know, they don't really care and they do weird things and it's just strange. And it's because their IQs are so high, they don't know how to relate to other people. So there's a thing that's also called an EQ and also an EI and an EIQ. And that's emotional intelligence, also known as emotional leadership, also known as emotional quotient, and also known as emotional intelligence quotient. And basically what that is, that's the capability of individuals to recognize their own emotions and those of others, discern between different feelings and label them appropriately using emotional information to guide thinking and behavior and manage and or adjust emotions to adapt to environments or achieve one's goals. Now, the reason I say that is this. I remember years ago, I had my youngest daughter tested, and she basically wanted to go into a gifted program at All Saints, which we quit going to school after a few years anyhow, which don't really want to get into that right now. But she was 4 years old and wanted to go into pre-K. And I'm sorry, I wanted to go into kindergarten, not pre-K. And I told her, I said, well, your birthday's in December, so you could be put in a year early, but they want you to be tested to find out what your IQ scores are to see if you're gifted enough to be able to handle the coursework. And sure enough, we put her in. We got her tested, and she's tested real, real high. And he told me she was gifted, and she could definitely go into the kindergarten at the age of four. Now, what was interesting, the psychologist said something to me. He goes, now, Ted, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this because you need to know this. He said, the children have real IQs. That's an academic, and that gives them the ability to do well academically, but it doesn't guarantee them success in life. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, just because they're good with books doesn't mean they have any smarts, street smarts. And he goes, just be aware of that. And so sure enough, we put her in school, and she was doing great, but then she didn't want to listen to the teacher, and she'd crawl under the desk and play in her own little dream world and ignore everything the teacher said. So finally, you know, the teacher had to call me and say, look, you know, Savannah is extremely smart, but she completely does whatever she wants to do. She has no structure emotionally. She doesn't know what's right and what's wrong. And so that's been an ongoing challenge with Savannah. High IQ, no emotional quotient. Now, we've done everything we can, you know, homeschooling her, prayer time with her every day, talking with her all the time, interaction in karate and taekwondo, interaction in Sunday school. And it's like she constantly makes the same mistakes over and over and over and over again, to the point now where she's pretty much started sabotaging her own future here working with us at home, to the point that I've had to take and put her into boarding school in a Christian environment just in order to try to get her more, how should I say, socialized with other people, even though at the age of 16, she'd already qualified to go to Polk State College with a full-ride scholarship for her almost her entire bachelor's degree, like Harrison did. But her emotional intelligence is so poor that we tried to create the best we could for her, and her decision-making skills are so poor that despite a high IQ, she simply can't quite figure out what to do with her life. Now, I'm saying all that. I'm using my own daughter as an example, which I don't normally do, but I am, because I want you guys to know that it doesn't matter if you have a high IQ score if you have a low EQ score, because the EQ, in many cases, as long as you have a functional IQ that can be taught and be trained, the EQ score will provide you greater life success than the IQ score was, assuming that you have like 100 IQ minimum, or, you know, at least you're able to concentrate and focus and learn how to read and write, that kind of stuff. So that's what I wanted to cover with you today, because I didn't want to make it all sound like it was all about IQ the other day, because it's not. It doesn't make any difference how I have another person in my family. I'm not going to mention any names. Don't want to get in trouble. The girl's brilliant. Emotional idiot. emotional idiot. I mean, just complete and total emotional idiot. I mean, just a weirdo. And you think, well, why in the world is this girl an emotional idiot? Well, she has no EQ. She has no ability to relate or to get along with anybody else. And quite frankly, I disassociated myself with her because of that. I said, you know, look, until you're willing to treat me and the rest of the family with mutual respect, I don't need any more lessons from you, because all your lessons are a lesson in frustration, and you're an excellent teacher. I don't want to deal with this nonsense anymore. And you go, wow, Ted, that sounds kind of harsh. No, guys, a lot of people have people in their families that just don't want to get along. You know, now we have a new study just came out and talked about photonic energy, and it says that we could actually, because of the interaction of light photons with light photons and the energy field that we put out around our bodies from our heart, from the energy field around our heart, from our nerve plexus, and the amount of electromagnetic frequency that we put out, then when we step inside another person's electromagnetic energy field, that they can actually draw energy from us. Now, we know that's science. I don't have time to cover this story in detail today, but that's just science. It's a lot of that's done from the Heart Math Institute. Now, what's interesting about this is that we've all felt this. You get around somebody who's just an energy vampire. You go, my gosh, I feel awful. My energy's through the floor. I feel rough. You know, what did this person do to me? And they literally feel as though they tapped into you with an extension cord and pulled your life force out. I know I'm using some weird scientific stuff here, some weird science fiction stuff too, but that's what it feels like. Like they feel like they're energy vampires. And see, this is the same type of energy, apparently, these interdimensional entities seek from us, and that's why they do what they do in their rituals and all the other crazy stuff that they do. The point about this is this. All of this stuff is very, very real. So it's important that you socialize your kids to the best of your ability. Now you say, well, I had him this, and I had him this, and I had him this, and I had him this. Now I've got another friend of mine. Brilliant man. Genius IQ. I mean, just brilliant. Did really well in school. Has a very low EQ. And he was raised in a public school system. He was raised basically in the Boy Scouts of America. Made it all the way to Eagle Scout. Still has a very low emotional quotient. Shows up late all the time. Always late. Also knows who I'm talking about. Always late. Never. If he tells you he'll be there at 9 o'clock, he may show up at 11. And you go, wow, that's crazy. Well, yeah, but see, that's what it is. Now, because of his profession, he's gotten much better and better and better and better and better. But that's all part of the EQ. See, the intelligence quotient makes you really good with book learning and with memorization and doing stuff like that. The emotional quotient is what makes you relate better to other people and allow your emotions to help determine the course of your life. Now, there's one other thing, too, that nobody wants to talk about. That's SQ. The scientists don't want to talk about that. And that's spiritual quotient. This is imparted to you by your parents, primarily. It's very difficult for a person who's never been to church or never experienced the power of God or have never heard of Yahweh or Yeshua, if they're 30 or 40 years old, to be brought back to the Bible and say, hey, look, this is a Bible story. This is what happened in the beginning. This is who Jesus Christ was. It's very difficult for them to understand that. That's why Jesus says, you know, you have to accept him like a little child does. And that's why it's so important that you train your children up in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, that's very important, because if we don't do that, we can't instill the spiritual quotient into the children. That's why when kids are young, you need to have them in church. You need to have their emotional quotient being developed. Now, you say, well, they're in the public school system. Well, the public school system is pretty bad, and that's one of the reasons that we decided to homeschool, because the emotional quotient that's being fulfilled in the public school system means they're going to want to listen to Katy Perry. They're going to want to watch Miley Cyrus run around and ride a giant phallic symbol at her concerts. All these other sick things these girls are involved in, these girls that the Disney people put in front of our children, and now they've turned into complete and total tramps. Just thought I'd mention that real quick about Disney. And so what we have is this whole thing with children thinking that this is their peer group, and it's okay to do drugs. It's okay to have sex with whoever you want to have sex with. Just make sure you get the Gardasil shots. Make sure that you don't end up with, you know, with cancer, and which doesn't work. It makes it worse. It makes the girls infertile. All of these things are being promoted through the EQ, and it's being done through basically Skinner technology, which is the operant and classical conditioning that's being taught in our school systems, being used in our school system, and also being used by Hollywood, including with the flicker rates, etc., when they watch these videos. I can't tell you how important it is. My son Harrison was here today, and he's in graduate school. He's home for the summer. for a month or so, and he was listening to some rap music. And I said to him, I said, and it wasn't like heathen rap music, but it wasn't Christian rap music either. And I said to him this morning, I said, look, dude, I said, here's the thing. I said, don't listen to that. And I said, that'll get down inside your spirit, start messing with your head, making you do things you shouldn't ought to do, say things you shouldn't ought to say, go places you shouldn't ought to go. I said, it's just no good. I said, it's no good. He goes, well, yes, sir. And I went out whether he's listening or not. He's 19 years old. It doesn't really make any difference. He's past the point of saying, okay, I'm going to sanction you if you don't listen. That's done. Okay. So, but I want to share with you the emotional quotient and the spiritual quotient and the intelligent quotient all work together. That's why a lot of people are very, very successful who don't have high IQs, but they have a very good emotional quotient. They get along well with other people, and they're able to get their job done and stay focused. And so, I mean, you got the blue-collar worker. Some of these guys that I know are super wealthy. Sheetrock companies, drywall companies, drywall, same thing as sheetrock, electrical contractors, plumbing companies. They become very, very, very successful. Some of them open their own businesses, have other plumbers working for them, other electrical contractors working for them. They become super wealthy, multi-millionaires. Because they've got a good balance in their life. But remember, you got to remember all of it. The spiritual, the intelligence that you can't do anything about. So that's the one you got. That's the variable that doesn't change. But that doesn't matter, though. You can build those other two up to a point where they can compensate for the IQ. I just wanted to mention that to you. Now, one other thing. So we're talking about things here that we need to know about. Sidney Gottlieb just celebrated his 100th anniversary of his birth. This is from the Daily Telegraph. And this is what's interesting about this guy, and I've talked about him before. This guy was a Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian, black magic sorcerer. Okay, that's who he was. And he worked for the CIA. And he basically was a master of poisons and mind control. I kid you not. He was a Hungarian Jew. He was born a century ago today. Gottlieb was a chemist hired by the CIA for his expertise on poisons, who later ran the project MK Ultra, looking for ways of using drugs and poison to extract information and control minds. He was known as the Black Sorcerer. Gottlieb sparked dozens of conspiracy theories, and his schemes inspired TV shows such as The X-Files and Stranger Things. Matthew Modine plays the fictional character Dr. Brenner, resembling Gottlieb, who also worked on MK Ultra. The real Gottlieb was a mysterious figure who emerged from the shadows during a 1977 Senate hearing into the CIA's mind control experiments. He was born not as Gottlieb, but as Joseph Schneider, later changing his name to Sidney Gottlieb on August 3, 1918, to Louis, a tailor, and his wife Fanny, Orthodox Jewish immigrants from Hungary, who lived in the Bronx. Teased by other children because of his foot deformity as well as his leg braces and shoes that he had to wear, he was a brilliant student and particularly good at science and developing poisons. Now, I'm going to stop for just a second. This just hit me when I was saying this. Gottlieb is a German Yiddish name. Gott means God, Lieb means love, which basically translates, the literal translation, to lover of God. Now, what I find interesting, this guy was a Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian freak show on steroids who liked to use poison to poison people and drugs to force information out of people. My only question is, there are many gods with little g's. Now, you know where this is going. How do we know when he named himself Gottlieb it wasn't Lucifer Lieb? You know, he loves Lucifer. I mean, how do we know that? Because it doesn't say Yahweh Lieb. It doesn't say that. So always remember, guys, these guys are a bunch of nutbags when they get into this type of work, working with LSD, with poisoning people, drugging people against their will, having two-way mirrors and rooms with prostitutes, basically putting people on LSD and them not even knowing that this was on, they're on LSD. Yes. This was Gottlieb who did this. And so wherever Gottlieb is, I don't know. He finally retired from the CIA. He's dead now. And he ended up working with leper colonies for about 18 months. I guess it's some type of penance for what he had done in other countries. But the reality is this. This guy is probably swimming in the lake of fire right now doing backstrokes. He was one of those people who basically is steeped and raised and lived in hell, as far as I'm concerned, and these are the types of people who should never, ever have any type of recognition in a favorable or positive way because of the many, many people that he basically did this to and the way he taught other people to do it to other people. Austin, what do you think, and what's your first story?
One thing I just want to add to that is that just goes to show you the quality of work that the CIA is involved in, that they actually contracted this individual to work for them for years and years and years on end. That right there should speak volumes about that alphabet agency and what they're involved in. Just from that alone, that's pretty doggone creepy.
Also, remember the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski? The Unabomber Ted Kaczynski was a student who worked under Gottlieb while he was in college in Harvard, who took part in stress control experiments that left him so damaged under Gottlieb, it mostly contributed his career criminal as the Unabomber. Okay? This is the Unabomber. This is what Gottlieb did to this guy. See, so that's what I'm saying. He did this stuff to a lot of people, and it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Another one was a CIA operative, Frank Olson, who raised objections to the CIA experiments in airborne toxins. If you want to watch the thing on that, you watch the Netflix series on Wormwood. In 1953, Olson was invited to a weekend retreat hosted by the Doctor of Death, Gottlieb, at a CIA facility in Deep Creek Lake, Michigan, Maryland. On Gottlieb orders, Olson's drink was spiked with LSD, so messed up his brain a week later he fell to his death from a 10th floor window at a Manhattan hotel. Agents tried to make it look like suicide. It would take years for the truth to come out. See, this is that guy who was steeped and basically worked with his master, Lucifer, the Doctor of Death. But enough of this guy. I don't want to talk about him anymore. The guy makes me want to puke. What's your next story, bud?
No, absolutely. Well, this is an ironic one because we're talking about smarts and academics. Now, this is interesting. A literature class at Davidson College this fall now will be using what is now referred to across the education community as contract grading, which will now allow students to pick ahead of time their grade for the class that they want to earn and the workload that they need to complete it. Basically, this professor, Melissa Gonzalez, she is one of seven professors across the nation now who are allowing students to pick their own grade method, billed as a way to eliminate the student-professor power differential. Gonzalez argues that it can help students focus on learning more than on grades. Of course, as you guys will probably not surprise, Gonzalez is a Hispanic studies professor who also teaches the gender and sexuality studies department. What I found this interesting now is more and more the colleges are becoming so bent on making sure there's no conflict, that there's no reason to make the children strive anymore. They're now doing contract grading to basically you go in and you say, well, I only need a C in this class, so you need to only send me what I need on the syllabus basically to earn a C, and as long as I know I've done that, I've automatically earned a C and I don't have to worry about anything else. This really kind of takes the entire aspect of the classroom and learning and participation and everything evolving classroom learning and kind of throws it out the window, because now you're going to have kids that are, they may get a B because they did work that's a B load, but they're going to come back and say, well, I feel like I did more work. There was one more paper that I made that was a page longer and it was more than I needed to get a basic B. So I really think you need to upgrade me to an A now because I deserve an A because I did an extra page on this one paper. This whole concept here of basically allowing the kids to pretty much run the classes in universities just goes along with what we've already seen now with this whole socialistic idea of everything's supposed to be free, everything's supposed to be easy, everything's basically supposed to be given to this younger generation. But I thought that was interesting now that they're now starting to do contract grading across the country now in some classes.
Well, it was interesting. I was a college professor, Austin. You know that for years. And I didn't do that with my students. Now, I would give them a syllabus of what I expected of them, but then they would be given exams. Now, what they could do with the contract grading protocol, they could give them certain types of papers they have to write with no test scores. And so if you showed up in class, you got a 50% participation grade. If you took wrote these papers, you'd get another 20%. And if you did a presentation from the class, you'd get another 30%. And if you you did good on all of these different types of things and completed everything you're supposed to do, then you're going to get the A. But guys, that's not what college is about. And let me tell you why they're doing this. They're doing this for several reasons. Number one, the kids are becoming increasingly dumbed down because of Common Core. And so they're getting to college, and a lot of them are having a hard time reading and writing. This is the same thing I had a problem with my students in Tallahassee when I was up there. You know, they can't complete full sentences. They can't answer short answer essay questions. And this was, guys, this is 40 years ago. It's much worse than it is now. And so what it was, it's much worse now than it was then. And so this is what people don't understand. And so these teachers, because of GradeMyProfessor.com, they want to make sure that they get good, you know, scores from their teachers or from their students so that the professors or the college continues to keep them on staff if they don't have tenure. That's what this is all about. I have a friend of mine. Well, it's not really a friend. He's an acquaintance. I've known him for a long time. And he's now lost his position teaching at a local university. And one of the reasons they got rid of him was because he was so concerned about the students making good grades in his class that when he would give a test, every correct answer was an A on a multiple choice test. So if there were 30 multiple choice answers, every single question was an answer was A. It wasn't B, C, or D, or E. It was A, all the way down. Finally, this got back to the administration, and they had enough of it. And they said, you know, what is it? These kids aren't learning anything. They come to your class. They take this exam. They put A down for every single thing. What are you teaching them? You know, this is an expensive school to go to. They're spending, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 to take this one course. And now you're basically giving them an A, and they don't have to do anything but show up in class and take a test. You know, he was fussing at me because he's lost his, they wouldn't renew his contract. They terminated his butt. And my response to him was, well, you know, dude, maybe you should do something different. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that kind of junk. I mean, you know, try something else. By the way, this is from the Daily Mail. This is interesting. Poison toothpaste, prisoners hypnotized to kill, how Mossad, Israel's Secret Service, has become the world leader in assassinations with 800 operations in the last decade. That means 80 every single year, or was that like seven people getting killed a month? It says, Israel, a country born in bloodshed, has become the leader in assassinations. I'm reading directly, by the way, from the Daily Mail, which is a huge newspaper out of the UK. Israel, a country born in bloodshed, has become a leader in assassinations. Mossad secret agents killed more people than the agents of any other state since World War II, with some 800 operations in the last 10 years ago. An operation in 1968 was directly inspired by the film Manchurian Candidate. I mean, come on, guys. And this goes on all the time with a lot of these intelligence agencies. It's just that Mossad seems to be the best at doing this and killing people. What got my attention was poison toothpaste. I guess we all need to be careful who gets access to our toothpaste after I read this article, Austin.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's your next story?
Yeah, toothpaste is one of those ones that I think it's rough because you think about it from a logical standpoint, very few people really question their toothpaste. I mean, regardless, you know, if you're drinking, that's why it's so important, A, make sure you're getting really good toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride in it. That's just A. But B, you know, you never really expect somebody to put toothpaste poison in your toothpaste tube. So it's kind of something that catches you off guard. That's horrible, though. But and also other news as far as what we're seeing with total world monitoring now, MLB and NFL fans now are being asked to submit their faces and fingerprints just to buy food, beer, and tickets. If you still value your privacy, I've always urged people to stay away from major league sporting events. You guys pretty much already know, and I've said this numerous times, I'm going to repeat myself again. Pretty much, especially with the NFL, it's basically paid wrestling. I mean, everything's fixed. These guys are hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year in bets. They know exactly who's going to win and who's not going to win. There's no question about it. So just take that out of your mind as far as if you're going to an NFL game, that you're there to root for your team, waste of money, waste of time, and waste of your privacy, especially the further it's gone now. Yesterday, Clear Biometrics announced that it was going to be installing biometric fingerprint scanners at Seattle's CenturyLink and Safeco Field concession stands. Also, too, they're talking about basically adding in to dozens of other NFL stands in at least 12 other Major League Baseball stadiums. Clear, if that sounds familiar to you, it's because it is. Clear is TSA's pre-check screen. screening. If you see now and you go to the airport and you see TSA pre-check, there's a sign above that says cleared. It's got a couple little dots, a weird sign. Clear. They're installing this now at all the major MLB and NFL stadiums around the entire country now. They're full facial recognition biometric scanners, including fingerprints. What's going on now is also, too, you guys remember I warned last year that Lincoln Motor Company was installing complimentary TSA pre-check scanners in all their vehicles. So basically, you can use that now to pre-scan when you go to a stadium in your new Lincoln vehicle with clear pre-check, and you'll be cleared to pull in now, and you won't have to go through any other biometric stuff. This is crazy here because TechCrunch writer David Codwell claims that it's a privilege to join Clear because people can skip waiting in line while ignoring the fact that people are literally losing their privacy for the sake of convenience. He went on to say, it can be quite a melee or considerable waiting getting into both venues, so it will almost certainly be embraced by Clear that you basically are privileged to have this opportunity. There's nothing fun about using facial biometrics to enter a stadium. It's clearly not a privilege to use your fingerprints to buy food. Privilege, convenience, and fun are all words meant to distract you from what is really going on. Remember, this is all how they do psychops. They use specific words, specific phrases. I've told you guys this before. Most people have seen this with the firearms push now to ban so many guns, the common sense gun laws. And we need to be stop people that are basically mentally challenged or people that shouldn't have guns out of the hands of them. All these terms that they like to use on a regular basis, they say them repeatedly for a reason, because they're very usually vague terms that can't really have a negative connotation to. When you say, I want common sense gun laws. Well, if you argue that, if you really argue that term, what do you want to say? No, I want to have gun laws that are not common sense. I want non-common sense gun laws. That's what we need. Well, that just makes you sound stupid. So the same thing right here. If they're saying, well, this clear protocol, you know, this biometric clear thing, it's convenient and it's fun. Well, I don't want to have fun and I sure don't want it to be convenient. Well, no, again, you sound like a goon. Like, well, nobody argues that. So that's why they use these phrases and these terms in these psychop papers that they write to make you basically say, well, I like convenience and I like fun, so I want to do this. I want to be involved in this. I want common sense things. There's no reason to go against that. This is what they're doing now. Even the LPGA now is saying that they're going to start using this same system. Businesses are now basically getting contracted by Clear to use facial biometrics to create their own watch list in stores. So now they can say if somebody walks in that they basically think has been a shoplifter or they think is basically wanted, DHS will already have their biometric facial scanners installed in their store, gas stations, dealerships, malls, all this stuff now. They're contracting them out. Australia now has started using facial recognition to stop citizens from purchasing alcohol. They said the facial recognition technology will soon be used to stop problem drinkers from purchasing booze. They said the radical plan the state government says it will consider is as a scheme to control problem drinking in the country. So now you go into a gas station, you're basically an alcoholic, which is not good, it's not healthy, but you go to buy alcohol again, all of a sudden they say, sorry, but I've got notified on facial recognition software, you're basically not allowed to buy alcohol anymore. You go, what? Wow. Not allowed to buy alcohol? No, you're basically a problem drinker. I can't sell you this alcohol. If I sell you this alcohol, I'm going to jail. You go, okay. Well, what else can this be applied to, guys? How about fuel? How about, oh, we've seen your facial recognition on the toll booths. We've also seen them on the interstate now. We know you're a problem speeder. We've clocked you now multiple times. We've seen that you speed on a regular basis. We're not going to allow you to buy fuel anymore for the next 30 days. We've restricted your ability to buy fuel.
That's right.
How are you can't tell me I can't buy fuel. No, we will. We've actually blocked all of your cards at every gas station now. You cannot buy fuel. And if you walk into the gas station to pay with cash, you're on facial recognition already, and the teller legally will not be able to sell you fuel or else she'll be arrested. You go, how in the world can this happen? Guys, they're doing it right now. Even the Olympics Tokyo 2020 now, they said it's upping the security with full facial recognition system unlike anything ever seen before. Tokyo 2020 will be the first Olympics to use facial recognition technology throughout every single facility involved with the Olympics. They said, of course, this is to increase security at all venues. The game organizers have linked up with Japanese telecommunications and information technology giant NEC to develop the first system of its kind to be implemented at the Olympics. They're going to use IC chips and ID cards. You're only going to be able to get into the venue if you have an ID card, period. If you want to watch the Olympics, you want to visit the Olympics, if you want to walk anywhere on the grounds that has anything involving the Olympics, you have to have an ID card, which will have an IC chip in it that will automatically verify the identity of anybody entering these venues. They said more than 300,000 athletes and game staff will have to submit full photographs, biometrics, and background checks to a database before the Olympics start in July 2020, so they basically will not get flagged and they will know that they can come in and out as they please. This is what's going on with the facial recognition scanner stuff, guys. This is why they're doing it. This is why they're doing it at NFL stadiums. This is why they're doing it at baseball stadiums, because these are easy places to implement this for. Because why? You do not have to visit these places. They're using all the areas that you do not have to use first as soft targets to say, well, if you don't want to do it, you just don't have to go there. But like I said, what happens if they start doing like they're doing in Australia now? They say, you're on facial recognition and you're basically a problem drinker. You can't buy alcohol now. How long till that turns into almost any other thing you can conceive to block you from doing? This is where it's headed. And this is why for so many years I've been so adamant about not being involved with the biometrics, with the facial recognition tracking, all this stuff, because it is coming at us so fast now. I mean, 10 years ago, this stuff wasn't even, I mean, it was just starting to take off. Even Homeland Security was really just starting to get good database back with this, and they didn't have constant errors all the time, to the point now we're talking about the Olympics is going to be fully buttoned down with technology like this, and now we're having Australia put it in place where you can't even buy alcohol if your face pops up on any one of their cameras that's in that country, Dad. Unbelievable, but something I really wanted to talk about today because it's getting so fast. It's growing so fast right now.
Well, you know, Austin, you've got first-hand experience at Disney World. I mean, every time Austin walks into Disney World, the cameras grab him and he's singled out for search and for going through the metal detectors. I mean, like every time. Now, we don't go very often, so it's, you know, it doesn't happen like, you know, once a year. But the reality is, it's like every time he's picked out of the crowd. So,
yep.
I mean, I'm sure I will be too. I just haven't been in many, many years, and I don't really care about supporting the rat as far as I'm concerned. It's just a giant tourist trap. By the way, we were talking about the NFL earlier and having these facial recognition cameras and biometric scanners and everything else at the NFL. So one more thing I want to say about the NFL, in case you have any other reasons that you really want to hate the NFL if you're a guy, they are now bringing out the first male dancers, and they will hit the sidelines this season.
Gosh.
And approximately 50% of these dancers will be full-blown homosexual gay dancers. And, wow, I mean, that's just really something I didn't really want to go see in an NFL game or even on the sidelines or even on TV. But I just thought I'd mention that's what they're planning on doing also. So it's one of those things. That, you know, guys, let me think about it for a second. Like Austin said, the NFL and the professional wrestling are cut from the same bolt of cloth. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, it's absolutely important that we understand that, because if we don't, then what we do is we start thinking and deluding ourselves and thinking these things are real. These are not real. Okay? You know, what's real is the way that we completely ignore people who do things illegally in this country who are Antifa members. In fact, Antifa member, ethics professor, escapes punishment after bashing a Trump supporter with a bike lock. I mean, you try to do that with anybody else, you're going to jail. Eric Klant, the philosophy and ethics professor at Diablo, that's nice, Valley College, was granted a plea deal and will receive probation instead of punishment following his violent attacks on Trump supporters. My police reports that he bashed 7 people with a bike lock at Berkeley in April 2017. Klant was charged with 4 counts of felony assault and faced 11 years in prison. One victim, Sean Stiles, pressed charges against him over the brutal attack that fortunately was captured on video. The judicial system now protects the privileged leftist communist class and is no longer capable of serving justice. Think about this. Think about Hillary Clinton. Whatever she wants, the body counts continue to follow that Jezebel from hell. And quite frankly, she is basically Teflon. Now, also, Trump is doing a bunch of sanctions now on Russia again. And this bothers me. because Trump's, listen, he's basically released more crippling sanctions on Russia. I don't understand how he can talk out of both sides of his mouth like this. It's very, very frustrating to me that he's doing this and continues to do this, because, you know, he goes over to Putin, acts like Putin is his friend, comes back over here, and now throws more sanctions at Russia, pretty much stopping all imports and exports out of our countries to one another. And sadly, it's like, you know, really, do you really want to go ahead and do this, Donald? I mean, why in the world do you say one thing to Putin, and you even have Rand Paul deliver a personal letter to Putin for you, but why in the world are you doing this on the world stage as far as hammering Russia like this? It's absolutely ludicrous, Austin, that this is going on and that nobody wants to talk about it. Because remember, the other day, Alex Jones was on with Savage, and he did a pretty good interview with Savage about the censorship that was taking place on InfoWars. Now remember, Trump appeared on InfoWars, and Alex Jones, along with all of us in the alternative media, we were all instrumental in getting Donald Trump elected, period. I'm just telling you the truth, it was just period. And now Alex Jones said on Savage's program that Trump pretty much cut a deal with the CIA or whoever these people were, or with Google or with Apple or whoever is in charge of all this, and said, you know, you can go after alt media, but you need to leave me alone. Whoa. Think about that. I mean, that's pretty much out of Alex Jones's mouth. I'm paraphrasing him, but that's what he said. Guys, what's up with Trump? Why in the world is he doing this? Why is he imposing, quote, his, quote, sanctions from hell on Russia for accusations that Russia poisoned an ex-spy with absolutely no proof? The Trump administration announced it was hitting Russia with new sanctions, punishing Putin's government for the March 4 nerve agent attack on former double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter in the UK. No evidence whatsoever has confirmed Russia's involvement. The first wave of sanctions will ban licenses for export to Russia of sensitive national security goods, which that should be banned from everybody anyhow. The second set downgrades diplomatic relations, suspends Aeroflot's ability to fly to the United States, which is the Russian airline, and nearly all exports and imports will be cut. Ron Paul criticized the neocons who are pushing the crushing sanctions from hell, claiming that Russia is attacking our democracy. They offer no proof, like that blithering idiot our Senator Bill Nelson said yesterday on the show. They claim that Russia is supporting a war criminal, Syrian President Assad, who is widely supported by his people and has nearly defeated a 7-year occupation by ISIS. Additionally, the neocons claim that Russia violated Ukraine's sovereignty, but it was the U.S. that backed a coup that toppled Ukraine. Ron Paul says that the sanctions are good at two things only: destroying the lives of the innocent civilians in Russia and inciting war between two of the global superpowers. And he's absolutely right. Guys, Trump needs to get a reality check. Okay, he's got to decide. He's got to decide if he wants to work with people like this Gottlieb nightmare, you know, from the former CIA. And of course, he puts another Gottlieb into the FDA. We know that. He did that already. I mean, he needs to think through what he's doing as far as from a presidential standpoint, is stop this wishy-washy behavior back and forth. A double-minded man is unstable, and all he does is what the Word of God says. And now we're having a group of evangelicals that are so frustrated with what's going on, they're trying to arrange another meeting in the White House, have been doing so for about 5 months now, and can get no more invitations to come into the inner office of the Oval Office with the president. So who's running the White House? Who's in charge of the United States of America? Or are we just basically giving Trump a little bit of tidbits, a little bit of crumbs to fall off the Zionist tables? Now, guys, this is so frustrating to me that we're going against Russia again when Russia is doing everything it can to become very, very attached and very integrated with the Russian Orthodox Church again in trying to be a Christian nation. It frustrates me to no end, Austin, that these sanctions are being put on Russia. There's absolutely no reason in it. Because there's no proof to any of this stuff. Now, okay, so if Russians did buy a few Facebook ads, which were primarily, by the way, supporting Hillary, which makes no sense, because if you want to go to war with Russia, if you believe anything the CIA says, because they ping stuff off different servers around the country and around the world, so you have no idea where the original stuff came from. But the reality is this, it did not influence the election. It was a massive landslide election. If it had been a hanging chad election like W had in Florida, you know, back in 2000, that'd be one thing, but it wasn't that. It was a massive landslide election, and that's what the Democrats are scared to death of again, Austin, that the Trump candidates and the Republican candidates running on the Trump ticket for all these different congressional seats, et cetera, and Senate seats that are coming up, that's going to be another landslide victory for the Trump people. Why? Because we're tired of the mainstream news never-ending lying. We're tired of it. The problem is, if we have Donald Trump going back and forth, he looks unstable to everybody, and he's taken about 20% of his base, and he's got them pretty ticked off right now. But the other 80% are still with him, and the rest of us just frustrated, Austin. What do you think?
Well, the first thing about this, and the sad part is, you can pretty much already figure this out, that, I mean, that's total hogwash, that's why we're putting sanctions on them, because of the alleged poisoning of a double agent. First off, let's get things straight. And this is pretty much known across the board in any type of classified documentation. Double agents are pretty much open game. If you get caught as a double agent, you're pretty much renounced. If you're a CIA agent, and let me explain this real quick. A double agent is basically, if you're a CIA agent and you get accepted into the Russian intelligence as a Russian, and they don't know you're a CIA agent, and now you're a Russian agent, and you're spying basically on another country for Russia, but Russia doesn't know you're a CIA agent that's actually spying on Russia for the CIA. It's very, this whole realm, when it gets involved with these guys, is a dark, dark realm. Now, I mean, it's been going on all the way back from the 1600s. You can do your research on basically the double agents. And so what happens is, if these guys get caught, the biggest thing they do is they threaten them essentially with death and try to turn a double agent into a redoubled agent, which means they take that individual to try to get them to spy back on the CIA to give them information back while they still are acting like they're working with Russia, spying on Russia to give information to the CIA. This is one of the most convoluted, weirdest things that I've ever seen happen in basically intelligence communities with these guys. I get it, I understand it, but it's unbelievably strange. So for them now, the United States, to basically say they allegedly, Russia allegedly poisoned a double agent is total hogwash, because double agents are, if they get caught, they're compromised, they're on their own. 100% of the time, they're on their own. There is no negotiating, because nobody wants to admit that a CIA agent is poisoned, a Russian agent, got caught by another country being a Russian agent, but it's actually a CIA. It's just garbage. They just want to wrap it up and say we're done with it. So what's happened now is they're trying to use that as an excuse, because Trump more than likely has gotten some nod from somebody on the other side saying, hey, this Russia thing is going too good. You guys are buddies. You guys met. You said some things over there that were true that you weren't supposed to say. That's why when you came back, we made you recant them. So now you're going to go back in and you're going to dump some really nasty sanctions on them, because we haven't got this World War III going yet. That's paraphrasing what I'm kind of speculating what the conversation was, but I'm telling you right now, using that excuse to put these aggressive of sanctions that I was just reading about when Dad was talking about stories, I haven't heard about this yet. I was just reading about it while Dad was reading about it. This is no joke at all. We're trying to incite violence with Russia, and as Dad just said, for Trump to be talking about all this stuff with Putin over there, they're being buddies, they're trying to work things out with this other superpower, says all this stuff, comes back, recants half of what he says, and now slapping them with sanctions over the alleged killing of a double agent is complete and total fabrication at its finest CNN fake news work I can ever even begun to express. So there's something else going on behind the scenes. Remember I told you guys that I told you on the Hagman show a week ago, there's something big is going to happen before the midterm elections. I have no idea what it's going to be. I have no dates. I'm telling you 100% something big is going to happen before this election. I don't know what it is, but they got something up their sleeve, because they cannot allow the House to not be completely taken over by Democrats. They have to get the House doing impeachment proceedings on Trump to basically get him out of office. They have to start on that. They cannot afford to get Republicans basically taking over the House and everything else completely and not allow this to continue to go on. We already saw, just talked about the other day, with basically Lindsey Graham or whoever it was that was basically coming out now, or excuse me, Bill Nelson, who's coming out now and saying the Russians are already interfering with the Florida elections. They've already hacked it. They're already taking care of it. Guys, they're building the narrative for what they want everybody to believe. Wake up and see it, and make sure you wake everybody else up around you. You don't necessarily have to completely choke them first off with all this information, but make sure you're spreading the news, you're getting these shows out there, you're letting people know the truth of what's going on, because we are in a full-blown propaganda war right now against CNN and the fake news network. What they just did at the beginning of this week with InfoWars, that's coming next to all the other alternative media outlets. That was a beta test to see what was going to happen and how hard we were going to push back when they shut down pretty much one of the biggest alternative media sites in the entire world, and they shut them down now. They're waiting to see what we're going to do, and if we just sit back and we go, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, it's not a big deal, we just got to kind of be nice, hopefully they'll be nice, you know, our pastor says we need to be nice, we don't need to do anything, we shouldn't say anything, we're going to lose it all, and everything is going to completely and totally dissipate that we knew that this great country once was, Dad. So to see this now going on with Russia really, really irritates me, because I personally think Russia has a lot of good quality traits, and in my opinion, it's a lot better to be friends with the biggest boy on the block that has nuclear weapons as well, instead of trying to incite World War III with them.
Well, the reality is this: sanctions are an act of war, period.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
when the Jews, international Jewish Zionists, declared war on Germany in 1933 and boycotted all German goods around the world that were exported in 1933, we've talked about this multiple times. Untermeyer did this. Samuel Untermeyer in WABC in New York. Look it up. And then 5 years after that, the sanctions had been crippling to Germany. And 5 years after that, Hitler got rid of the Federal Reserve Bank in Germany. Okay. Unleashed Kristallnacht and basically had enough of all of it. Now, you got to think through this, because remember, the Rothschilds were financing Hitler through the international banking cartels up to that point. And at that point, he said, I'm done. We're not borrowing currency anymore. We're not financing another war with borrowed money. We're not doing this again. And so he went with the faith of the German people and with the productivity of the German people to back his currency, the Deutsche Mark, which became immediately one of the strongest currencies in Europe. Hitler did not finance World War II. He was able to use his German Mark. Now, he ran out of a lot of goods that he needed for ball bearings, et cetera, because of the import sanctions coming into Germany. But the reality was he'd had enough of it, because the same thing, the international Jewry decided they were to come in and do a full-blown boycott on all German goods. Guys, look it up. You know, this thing about it is so funny. People listen to this show for the first time, and they hear me say something like that. They go, oh, what are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. Well, no, man. Listen to Byron Fagan. Listen to, he's on YouTube. Listen to his two-hour talk on the CFR and on the Council on Foreign Relations and on what happened at World War I and how the CFR was started. Listen to what he's saying. He was there. He was in the group that was there. Listen to what he says happened at the Treaty of Versailles, and find out for yourself who and what these people are and who and what they believe in, guys. It's one of those things. Sanctions are an act of war. Economic sanctions on any country is an act of war, because what you're doing is basically war, and this is the thing that the military-industrial complex doesn't want you to know. War has pretty much become antiquated. You don't need war anymore. All you have to do is stop exports into a country that can't feed themselves, and the country starts starving to death, and they will throw out the current president and leadership to put a new president in so the people don't starve and die. That's what happens. That's what's going to happen in Venezuela. You don't have to go in there with troops. You just sanction them. Just say, oh, we're going to sanction you now. We've had enough of this. See, that's what it does. It causes regime change. It's an act of war. And, of course, all they're trying to do is wait for Putin to leave Russia. That's all they want to do, because they don't want him in there anymore. It's with all one bet. And also, on top of that, now Trump also has issued crippling sanctions against Turkey, because they're not doing what we want. And the lira plunged 14% versus the dollar after Trump authorized doubling metal tariffs on Turkey. Trump's like running around on methamphetamines or something. The Turkish lira added to its steep losses on Friday hitting a record at low after President Donald Trump announced that he was doubling metal tariffs on Turkey. The lira fell 20% against the U.S. currency, reaching a record low. After Trump made the comment in a tweet, the currency last traded down 13.5% against the U.S. dollar. I mean, come on, guys, really? I mean, why? I mean, 20% increase in tariffs on aluminum and on steel. And he goes, our relations with Turkey. I'm going to read this to you, okay? This is Donald Trump's tweet. I have just authorized a doubling of tariffs on steel and aluminum with respect to Turkey, and as their currency, the Turkish lira, slides rapidly downward against our very strong dollar. Aluminum will now be 20% and steel 50%. Our relations with Turkey are not good at this time. No crap, Mr. Trump. You think doing this is going to make our relations with Turkey any better? What happened? Did somebody in one of their doggone air bases say we don't want to run the heroin out of Afghanistan through Turkey anymore? Oh, that's right. We're not supposed to know that, are we? I mean, what the heck? You think by crippling them with sanctions is going to make our relationship better? The beatings will continue until the morale gets better. What the heck is, what kind of comment is that, Austin? What kind, yeah. You got a president who's crippling a country and then goes on to say in the same tweet, our relationships suck right now. Okay. Well, what does he think they're supposed to do? Everybody's supposed to be happy. Come on, guys. You go over there with Putin. You have a press conference. You tell the truth what's coming on. Then you act like you're on a hostage tape when you come back and renounce everything that you did. Now you put more sanctions on Russia. Come on, guys. Who's running the country? Oh, that's right. The CIA is running the country. Oh, that's right. They have their handlers, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the international bankers, the sorcerers like that low-life Gottlieb that we talked about at the beginning of the show. They're running the CIA. Oh, yeah, who's running them? Oh, that would be Lucifer and his gang of whatever they are, fallen angels that are running around doing their mischief and their doggone sickness that they do. That's why we have to understand. This is a trickle-down thing. The United States, as we know it, was changed forever after the Civil War of the United States. We are no longer really, quite frankly, because of what happened after the Civil War, a constitutional republic, and we now see that. We're run by a group of oligarchies who basically are the international banks and the international corporations that are owned by the international banks. And this is why Eisenhower warned us, beware of the military-industrial complex. Guys, oh, gosh. Okay, I'm too frustrated right now. So go ahead. What's your next story? What do you think?
Yeah, well, one thing that is interesting, though, I saw this article that was released today from Xu Miao. He's from China. X-U-Y-A-M-I-A-O. He said that basically he's actually writing this because he's involved with China. He said now that China is running out of retaliatory tariffs against the United States. He said Beijing leaders are now looking to seek direct talks with Trump and may have to swallow their pride. I thought about this because they said the direct retaliation after the U.S. announced their first batch of 25% tariffs on $50 billion in goods brought a few benefits for China. If anything, it gave the U.S. an excuse now to plan for a new batch of tariffs covering $200 billion in Chinese goods. China's strategy did not work. On the evening of August 3rd now, Beijing decided to implement differentiated tariffs over $60 billion in U.S. exports. On August 8th, released an additional $16 billion worth of American good tariffs, but it's now reaching its tariff retaliation limit. The issue that they've seen now as they're going on is that the trade deficit was so bad and that China brings in so much stuff that the United States really has an endless supply of things to start adding tariffs off to China. On the opposite end, we don't send that much stuff to China anymore. And now, because of the tariffs that have increased some of the pricing, it's actually helped our industrial aspect of it, our industrial complex, to actually start growing and actually start getting back up and going again. So people are realizing that the prices now are almost flat when it comes to either buying stuff out of China or building stuff in the United States now. So China's goal of trying to basically start this massive trade war with the United States is not working like they expected. So something that I did think was interesting, because I thought about that before, when you have a trade deficit that bad and we're taking in that much stuff, if we start adding in huge tariffs on all the this stuff. They send this all the time, and they start doing it with our stuff. The problem is the deficit was so great that they're running out of stuff to put tariffs on now. There's not a whole lot they can do about it if they still want to continue to sell us anything whatsoever, Dad. So it looks like China may be getting into the ranks of EU now and coming in and doing a trade deal like EU did after EU realized that it was going to go south for them real quick, because we pretty much had the upper hand on all negotiation deals because of how much we've allowed this country, well, not us, but the politicians have allowed this country to basically be pillaged and plundered over the last 20 to 30 years with these horrible trade deals.
But remember, that's how they financed the debt. China bought the debt.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, remember, the international banking cartels had to have somebody who was stupid enough to buy the debt, and China did, because they were basically plundering and pillaging our deals and taking away our industry. And so now they've got over $1 trillion in debt from a doggone defunct, bankrupt United States, and now the United States is saying, oh, by the way, we don't want you to basically charge us tariffs on our imports anymore. And so Trump is right about the import-export stuff, but the reality is, the beginning of trade wars are always rough. By the way, there are seven conditions masquerading as dementia that people need to be aware about. Try to get a health article in here real quick. Number one are nutritional imbalances and deficiencies. They can also masquerade as dementia. Artificial food colors and sweeteners can cause it. Prescription medication side effects. Inflammation from low-level infections like with mold and food allergies. Stress. Thyroid and other hormonal imbalances. And mercury and other heavy metal poisoning, some of the things you can do to help eliminate senile dementia and different types of cognitive decline are getting rid of simple carbohydrates like sugar, eliminating gluten and processed food primarily because of the glyphosate, increasing vegetables, fruits, and non-farmed fish, reducing stress with prayer, taking melatonin each night, increasing sleep from 4 to 5 hours per night to up to 8 hours per night, taking methylcobalamin B12, vitamin D3, K2, CoQ10, and cod liver oil every single day, optimizing oral hygiene using an electric flosser and electric toothbrush. I don't know about electric flosser, but electric toothbrush works great. Hormone replacement therapy if absolutely necessary. Otherwise, I say no, you can correct it with supplements. And fasting for a minimum of 12 hours between dinner and breakfast. Now, a lot of people don't like that. I try to do that. It works out well for me. Fasting for a minimum of 3 hours between dinner and bedtime. That's something I try to do every single night. And exercise for a minute of 30 minutes, 4 to 6 days per week. I do that 6 days a week. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I'll let Austin finish the show. I had the honor and the privilege once again for praying for you guys this morning. You guys are awesome. Thanks for continuing to support Health Masters. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. Thank you for being there for us, and thanks for being our friends, and thanks for listening. God bless you, Austin. I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Absolutely, guys. It's Friday, so you guys be safe in whatever you're doing this tonight and this weekend. And be sure if you need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. We have the product of the week. So I told you guys yesterday, the probiotic 300 billion that won. Really, really advanced probiotic formula. One of the best ones, if not the best probiotic I've ever seen manufactured, with 650 billion CFUs at time of manufacturing, on sale for over 15% off right now. And be sure to look and vote for the other products of the week. The Ultimate Multiple Powder, which is a huge seller, very popular product, one of my favorite products, actually. It is actually winning right now. So be sure to vote, though. If there's any other products that you want to see win, vote for them. Get on the website, vote, let us know what you want to have win. And, of course, if you need anything, feel free to email us on the contact form on the website, or you can give us a call at 1-800-726-1834. We greatly appreciate all the support, guys, and thank you for the continued responses on the order comments and the emails. Just thank you, guys. We love helping you out. We appreciate it. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday, as always.